What are your Christmas celebrations going to be involving today? Or maybe they've started a couple of weeks ago with families spread out or families that are in different places doing different things on different days. Maybe your friendship groups have started your Christmas celebrations a while ago. The groups, community groups that you're involved in. Workplaces. How do they celebrate Christmas together? One of the things I find incredible is that every family has slightly different variations in what they do when they celebrate Christmas. They have their own family traditions. That's understandable and good, by the way. So what are your family traditions? What are your celebration, Christmas celebration traditions? Today, well, it's actually nice and cold. You could do with a hot roast, couldn't you? Or did you plan for a stinking hot day with the cold meat? Is it going to be a small gathering? A large gathering? And what small and large depends on what you think small and large is. Do you have the Christmas stockings? We know that not everyone has Christmas stockings. When do you open presents? Is that sort of like the moment you get up, zoom, out to the presents? Or are they spread out over time? Do you spread your gatherings, your celebrations over hours? Or over weeks. COVID's changed the way that we celebrated. We weren't always sure what was going to happen, were we? I know of people this year who met up for their Zoom beers together, Zoom coffee. There's been Zoom weddings and Zoom parties. I imagine there's a few Zoom Christmas parties today happening in the Sydney region, or maybe between Sydney region and could be possibly all over the world. Life has been mourned and celebrated at Zoom funerals. And we've had the opportunity to celebrate the goodness of God at Zoom church. What have you done differently this year? What are you doing differently this year? Apart from endless amounts of sanitizer put on everything. Thursdays are my day off, and our family night is often Thursday night, most Thursdays, and one of our family nights in the recent lockdown, we played online games over Zoom, at least I think it was over Zoom, I'm obviously the technical expert in our family, and our plans have changed for Christmas. I don't know whether your plans changed for Christmas. One of my relatives was coming from Sydney, and she was going to arrive on Wednesday, but a two-week isolation, a quarantine period probably didn't make it worthwhile. I've spoken to many in our church family who are relationally close and yet separated by distance or by state borders, and many of their celebrations this year have been turned upside down, and not just the Christmas celebrations. And many people understand the need for it, but they've lamented it. They've not been able to see siblings or children or grandchildren in person really since the beginning of the year. I was talking to Danielle's pa yesterday. He hasn't even been into town since March. Now, he thinks that's a good thing. Hasn't been to church since March. So, and for him, that's a big thing. It's huge. People long for things to open up so they might be able to get together to celebrate what's important. Which brings me to the question I think we probably should ask. Why do we bother celebrating all these things? We've almost done a year with almost none of them. Why do we bother? I guess, depending on the thing it is, we like celebrating because they're important to us. Maybe they're important not to us, but to those that are in our world, those around in our friendship groups. Or maybe actually they're not actually important to us or anyone we know personally, but we know they're important in the world that we live in. That's why I think we celebrate stuff. Which brings us to Christmas, doesn't it? Why do we bother with Christmas? Why do we celebrate Christmas at all? I've actually had someone ask me, why do we worry about Jesus? Lots of babies get born. I don't know actually how many babies get born every year. There's the show, One Born Every Minute. I think it's probably more regularly than that. And why do we bother with Jesus? Not only is he born one of many, but he was born an awful long time ago. Why is he special? I wonder how you'd answer that question. I think there's ways that our culture answers the question. Some, obviously, in our culture don't give two hoots about Jesus. They either don't believe that he's God, or they don't believe that he even existed for some of them. They follow some other God. Jesus is just, for some, a mythical figure. We don't tend to get those people all the time regularly come to church, but maybe it'd be great if they did, and maybe it'd be great if you're one of them, because it's a good opportunity to ask questions, isn't it? Some people celebrate Jesus at Christmas because it's just part of their family tradition. It's just what you do. Doesn't matter whether it's true or not, it's just traditions are important, and it's good to come along to, you know, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day services, whether it's true or not. That's what we do as a family. The fact that it's Jesus, well, that's just an accident of culture, isn't it? We have the nativity scenes. Maybe if it wasn't Jesus and maybe it was someone else, we'd have a different scene, but it's just an accident of culture that we're just doing that. Sometimes I think people celebrate Jesus at Christmas time and the focus is more on the Christmas and less on the Jesus. Jesus is just, I guess, he's there because he's always been there, but we give him lip service, but he's a pretty minor part. It really doesn't matter whether Jesus gets a Guernsey or not. And yet others would say that Jesus is central and essential to our celebrations at Christmas. Why do we celebrate Jesus at Christmas? So it's tempting to interact with some of those different thoughts and unpack them and critique them, I guess, but we won't do that now. Let's assume that Jesus is at some level important at Christmas time. I guess that's why people are here today. Probably more important, let me ask, why? Why is Jesus important? Why do we put Jesus in a central role at Christmas time? Those readings are probably not the ones you expected to have at Christmas time. They're not the normal Christmas story Bible readings, but I think they help us understand why the birth of Jesus is worthwhile celebrating. In fact, I think they push us a little further to think, why not just do we celebrate, but what else should we do in response to Jesus? That Hebrews passage, it actually says some incredible things about Jesus, doesn't it? It says some incredible things about who Jesus really is. See, the birth of Jesus is not just the birth of any baby. When Jesus came, it wasn't just an unusual birth story that happened to be written down that we like and we've just incorporated into our cultural narrative. God sent his Son into the world. It said in Hebrews, in the past God has spoken to us at many times in various ways. But in Jesus, God has sent his own Son to communicate God's plans and God's purposes in this world. And his Son is not just the mouthpiece of God in the world, he's the heir of all things. In other words, Jesus is directly connected with all of God's plans and all of God's purposes for all of the world over all time. That's a big claim, isn't it? The coming of Jesus, or Hebrews says, the coming of Jesus is central to what God is doing for all people, past, present, and future. It's worth our while reflecting on that. It might not be new news to us, but it should absolutely turn upside down what we value and what we live for. See, we live in a time when it's easy to have Jesus as part of our Christmas cultural narrative. It's something we've grown up with or something we've inherited. It is good for the kids, but it's good for us. You see, the Bible says that Jesus is worthwhile, let's say the word celebrating, although I'll critique that in a moment, because of who he is. All of history revolves around him. Now that should actually get us thinking, but actually there's more reasons than just this that come out of the passages we've read today. When Jesus came, He's sent not just as a smart, wise sage who can do stuff for humanity. He's not just sent as someone with great teaching skills that be able to bring people back in line. He's not a lifestyle coach or a guru. In verse 3, it actually says, in Hebrews that is, he's the radiance of God's glory, exact representation of his being. That should set off a few sparks as we think about just who Jesus is. He's the radiance of God's glory. He's not a reflection of God's glory. Not like the moon reflecting the light from the sun. He emits God's glory. And that's because he's God. John's gospel says, the word become flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus in John's gospel says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. That's a credible claim, isn't it? Did you see Jesus is not just the baby? As cute as he might have been. Most babies aren't cute. We just tell the parents that. He's not just a cute baby with dubious parentage. God, in his infinite wisdom, in his infinite goodness, sent his own Son into this world in human flesh. Verse 3 from Hebrews says why? To deal with the problem of your sin. My sin, our sin. It says Jesus came to purify us from sin. To deal with the problem of sin, he's got to wipe away the guilt of sin. He's got to pay the debt of sin. And Hebrews goes on to tell us that Jesus did that so that people like you and me, after being purified from our sin, Jesus has paid the debt, wiped away the guilt, means that we can approach the judgment throne of God with confidence. Can you now see why Jesus' birth is worthwhile celebrating? All of history is impacted by his coming. And because he came and because of what he did for us, you and I have the opportunity to have our relationship with God restored for all eternity. We'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper a little later on, which is a reminder of what Jesus has done. You see, if Jesus becomes an also-ran in our Christmas Day celebrations or maybe in our life, it might be good for us just to refocus. It is great to have family traditions, and many of the traditions of Christmas, when I'm feeling good about them, are good. When I'm a Christmas Grinch, well, nothing's good, is it? Holidays are great, family time, refreshment, they're all good things, and it's very easy to have those good things crowd out the goodness of what God is doing when he sent his Son into this world. You see, the birth of Jesus is not just there as a cute photo opportunity. It's not there just to fill you and me with warm fuzzies. It's not just there to have a holiday break for thousands of people for thousands of years. Why do we celebrate the birth of Jesus? I want to push us actually one more step just to think through whether we're ever called just to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Because you can celebrate something and not let it dominate you, can't you? You and I have always been guilty of being excited on the outside but not really on the inside. We can celebrate something and not allow it to dominate our lives. You know, those family celebrations that you've grown tired of but you put the smile on anyhow. Turning up at the right time. Doing the things that are expected but not allowing your heart to be engaged. Doing it all in a very superficial way. I've done that plenty of times. And I reckon it's so easy to do the same with Jesus. See, the idea of just celebrating the birth of Jesus is not actually a biblical idea. If Jesus is who he claims to be, then that alone demands more than just a simple celebration on a yearly basis. That passage we read from Ephesians, the last part of it, talks about, in verse 13, it talks about us doing something, use the word believe. We can confuse what belief is all about. We can think belief is just know about. I know, I believe, there you go. But I don't think belief in the Bible is ever a shallow thing. It's more than just simply knowing about something. Belief is something that shapes you to your inner core. It shapes who you trust or maybe what you trust. See, what you and I believe shapes what we do, it shapes what we value, it shapes how we live. If we're going to believe something, it will shape our lives. So do you and I just simply know about Jesus? Or do we believe that Jesus came and died on the cross to pay the debt of my sin and your sin so that you and I can have our relationship with God restored? The Bible calls on us to do far more than just simply celebrate the birth of a baby who's important. It actually calls on us to believe in him. And so I want to encourage us to be people who celebrate. Celebrate Christmas. Celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas. But do more than just that because of who Jesus is. If you and I are going to take him seriously, then we need to refocus our whole lives on what he's done and who he is. Now, if you're unsure whether you're taking Jesus seriously, it's worthwhile chasing up that question. It's one of the verses of the Bible that's a scary verse to remember. It says it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10:31. And it's worthwhile making sure we're taking Jesus seriously, doing more than just the simple celebration. And let me tell you why. I want to just quickly finish by taking us to the end of the book. The beginning of that passage from Hebrews. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. This is what Jesus has done to anyone who believes, or for anyone who believes. I'm not going to unpack everything the Ephesians says. Verse 5, he's adopted you and I to sonship. Now, if you're conscious of the fact that I've just used the wrong type of gender stuff in that, it's not sons and daughtership, it's translated as sonship. Just trying to pick up on the idea that in the context that Hebrews was written, the adopted as sonship mean that you're adopted to the full inheritance rights of the family. It's not saying that it's just for blokes. It's saying that actually it's conveying the idea that what Jesus did on the cross for men and for women adopts us as his children to full inheritance rights. How good is that? Now, I reckon that if we spend time reflecting on the fact that what Jesus has done enables us to enjoy the full inheritance rights of God, then we can spend a lot of time reflecting on that. That is a great thing to reflect on. That changes our hearts. It changes our lives. And God did that, it says, according to his pleasure and will. It wasn't, oh, well, I guess I must. It's actually, it fills God with pleasure. It is part of his will. Now, verse 7 in Ephesians tells us that was a costly thing. It wasn't just a throwaway thing that God did. It talks about Jesus' death on the cross and the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. But that's what God's done for us. How good is that? How often do you just stop and contemplate how good it is to follow Jesus? How God in his goodness has not just kept himself in the dark, but he's revealed himself to us so that we might know him and know the goodness of not just celebrating what he's done, but following him as his people. I hope this morning you've been reminded how central Jesus is to your celebrations. Maybe you need to rejig your thinking. Maybe you've been challenged in that. Maybe you've just been encouraged by the centrality of Jesus in our celebrations, but I want us to be pushed a little further to think about whether or not we believe. Do we believe who he is? And I don't mean belief as some sort of Hollywood thing that let's believe and it'll all turn out. Belief is based on who Jesus is and what he's done already, and that changes everything. So here's our challenge. 7 days' time, we start a new year. Everyone thinks that 2021's going to be better. I think that's pretty naive. But anyhow, what are you going to do with Jesus in 2021? What are you going to do with Jesus in 2021? Because the passage from Ephesians, the passage from Hebrews reminds us who he is, and it reminds us what he's come to do. He's offered us the best gift ever. How about I pray? Our Lord and our God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. And we pray, Lord God, that as we celebrate Christmas, we might just be pushed a little further to be people who have our whole of our life, you are central to that. People who believe in who you are and what you've done, and people who refocus everything on that. Lord, we pray that in this coming year we might actually know you better, take you more seriously, and allow your word to keep changing us and shaping the way that we live. We ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.